Let's bow in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning, and we ask as we consider your dear Son, the Lord Jesus, that you would have your way in our hearts. For some of us, his name is a name that has been a precious name to us for many years. For some sitting here this morning, it may be that he is just a name, but they don't know him in a personal way. And we pray as we reflect on him this morning, that Lord, you would speak to our hearts. We pray that those of us who have been on the Christian journey for a while might have a renewed and refreshed love for him. And for those who are yet to discover him as their own personal Lord and Savior, this will be a day that they will remember for eternity, because this is the day they trusted Jesus. And we ask these things now in his mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. I think it's important that we venture, as we venture into 2024, that we stop for a few moments and we reflect on a question. And the question is, what's in a name? If it's Jesus, everything, right? Everything. If it's in the name of Jesus, everything. The Bible tells us, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every other name, and the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day, people, that's exactly what's going to happen. That's going to be whether the people have bowed the knee here on earth or not. In that day, they will bow the knee. They will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So what's in a name? Names in our day and age probably don't mean as much as it did back in the days of Jesus. Today, parents choose names for a whole variety of reasons. They choose their names for maybe thinking that it would be good to honor a family member. Other people choose the names because they want to honor maybe a hero of theirs. Some names are quite frankly weird. We read a lot of names that are presented through particular actors and so forth, and you wonder, how did they come up with that name? And yet we have some very well-known names, names that are dear to us, names that have been around for a long time, names like David, names like Andrew, maybe Emma. We have Charlotte's here this morning. And why do we choose these names? Well, parents may have chosen them for a whole raft of reasons. Perhaps some have chosen them because they just like the name. Others may have chosen them because of someone that they know. But regardless, they choose the name because essentially they like it. But back in Jesus' day, things were a little different. If you think back in the days, right back in the Old Testament, we think of the names like Jacob. Well, we know that his name meant trickster. And then we have men's names like Abraham, father of a multitude. Or it may have been Moses, which means drawn out. He was taken out of the river. Whole raft of reasons and names, and they all had purposes and reasons for them attached to their names. But when we come and consider the name of Jesus this morning, it's important for us to stop and consider. This name, Jesus, declares a number of things that we need to know. And sometimes we gloss over his name and we don't think too much about what his name really means. But as we look at his name, his name describes in detail the entirety of all that Jesus came to do, his purpose for coming. First and foremost, his name declares his identity. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And in his day and age, Jesus was a very common name. Just like, and sorry Charlotte about this, but I need to mention your name again, but Charlotte and Oliver are still, according to McCrindle research, the most popular baby names for the beginning of 2024. And they're popular names. But in Jesus' day, his name was a popular name. His name was used everywhere. It was a common name. But his birth was a little different, wasn't it? His birth was quite different than all the other Jesus that were born at that time. You know, his birth was normal, but his conception was anything that was normal. Jesus was a real human baby, but he was also God in the flesh. The Bible says, and John put it this way, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God came to earth to live amongst men. Let's just go back, if we can, for a few moments back to Philippians and read from verse 5 again, just to go over it and rethink it. This is what it says in verse 5. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of a cross." When the Lord Jesus, as it were, invaded planet Earth and he took upon himself the form of human flesh, sometimes we forget about that enormous thing that took place, that God himself of the universe came and subjected himself to a fleshly body. He became real man and real God at the same time. And the implications of this is enormous when you consider, because the Creator became dependent upon the creature. He created each one of us, but he submitted himself to a human form, and he submitted himself to living a life that was truly honoring to his heavenly Father. So when we speak of Jesus of the Bible, we are referring to God in the flesh. The second thing we notice, that the name declares his intentions. His name means Jehovah. Jehovah is salvation. And the word salvation gives us a clear intention as to what Jesus came to earth, into this world, to accomplish. He came to save his people from their sins, Matthew says. And the word save means to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger and destruction. But how would Jesus really accomplish this? He tells us in his own words in Mark's gospel. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." He laid down his life. He looked down through the corridors of time and he saw you. And he saw that you would need an offer of forgiveness. He saw that you would need salvation. He saw that you would need forgiveness, and so he came, and he died in your place and my place. And so Jesus came into this world for one purpose only, and that purpose was to die on the cross, even the death of a cross. And even our Lord's own mission statement really said this: "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And what does that do? It reveals to us his intentions. That was his whole purpose, his whole reason for coming to planet Earth, was to die in your place and my place. In one biography of the great American Daniel Webster, 863 pages deal with his career, and just 5 pages about his death. In Hayes' life, of Abraham Lincoln, there are 5,000 pages, but only 25 are devoted to the dramatic story of his assassination and death. However, the interesting thing is this, that when we come to the 4 biographies of Jesus, the 4 Gospels, we notice a very interesting fact, and that's this, that in Mark 1:4 and 1 Luke Luke 1:2 and John are devoted to the last 24 hours of Jesus' life on this planet. A large bulk of it is given over to his death. And that tells me something. He came for one special purpose, and that was to die in your place, in my place. We all have a calling in life. We all have a purpose in life. And if you like, Jesus' purpose was to come into this world and to die in the place of a fallen world. And in spite of all he did while he was here, his primary purpose, as I said, was to come into this world and to die in the place of each man and each woman. Thirdly, the name Jesus declares his impoverishment. The name Jesus is our Lord's human name. He had many given names. He was the Son of Man. He was called the Son of God. He was called Emmanuel. He was called the Prince of Peace. But the name Jesus is the name that identifies him with the very people that he came to save. Imagine this, the Lord of glory came into the world. He came not as a king, but as a humble servant. He came not and being born in a palace, but he was born in a manger. Jesus understood poverty. He understood weariness. He understood hunger. He understood rejection. He understood loneliness. He understood temptation. And he understood the rest of the trials of the human condition. And that's why he came. He endured all that. So what he might do? That he might identify himself with us, understand us, and comfort us in our trials. For we do not have a high priest, Hebrews says, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. And that's his very reason why he came. He wanted to be identified with you and I. He endured everything that you and I endure. He was constricted and confined to a human body, the very creator of the universe. And yet he subjected himself to that. He knew he had one calling, one purpose. And may I make this personal this morning? You know, it's very easy to sit in a church for many years and to put on a religious front and not to know Jesus. I've seen it happen many, many times as I've preached in various places as an evangelist. Seen people who have thought that they were Christians, and it wasn't until they came face to face with Jesus and that they were confronted with the question about what they are going to do with him. It wasn't until then that they started to think very carefully about where their eternity lies. You see, this church is not going to get anybody to heaven. No denomination is going to get us to heaven. No amount of good works is going to get us to heaven. Your parents are not going to get you to heaven. Your spouse is not going to get you to heaven. Your good works are not going to get you to heaven. That's why Jesus came. He came to die in your place. Because he knew that on the 14th of January 2024 that you would be sitting in this church and that you would need his offer of salvation and forgiveness. And so he came. But also, that name declares individuality as well. As I said earlier, there were many children, babies that were born and named Jesus at the same time as him, but there was only one that could be called Emmanuel, God with us. Many, many Jesus, but there's only one Jesus that could be called Emmanuel. Thousands of babies were born to the world that same year, but only one of them was born into the world to be the Savior of the world. That one Jesus, that same Jesus, is the one that stands at your heart's door today. And maybe, dear Christian, you may be sitting here and you've wandered away from him. You haven't been walking with him, maybe for a long time. But you're confronted and you come face to face this morning with this same Jesus. And he calls and he knocks on your heart's door and he says, open up, let me in, let me take control of your life once again. After all these years, Jesus still stands alone, doesn't he? After all these years, he still stands alone. He's the only one who can save a lost soul. He's the only one that can heal a broken heart. He is the only one that can bring peace to a troubled life and hope beyond the grave. No one else, nothing else. I remember some years ago when Bev and I were passing through Dubai and we were in a tour bus. And the tour bus stopped out the front of this hotel to pick up some tourists. And just then the call to worship came from the mosque nearby. The bus driver got up out of the car, ran off, left us sitting there because he felt that he had to go and do that. When he came back, I asked him how personal it was for him. He had no clue about what it was other than the fact that he was required to go and to do a religious practice. And I began to share with him Jesus, but he was completely clueless about what it meant for the future eternity for him. We consider the fact that there is only one Savior, one person, one Savior that stands astride this world and offers forgiveness and offers salvation and offers heaven as our home. You see, mankind has fallen into a pit of sin, really, hasn't it? You know, and there are many people out there ready to give advice. We have the legalist who says, well, you shouldn't fall into pits. And then you have the religionist who says, I can tell you how to get out of that pit and avoid other pits in the future. And then there's the pessimist. You're going to die in that pit. And then there's the optimist who says, I've seen worse pits than that. And then there's the realist who says, you need to accept your pit. And then there's the spiritualist who says, there is no pit. But then Jesus comes along. Listen, folks, Jesus comes by and he says, I will get into that pit with you and lift you out. That's the difference. There's only one man, one person that can change your life and lift you out of that miry clay. It's just like the psalmist who said this in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Jesus is the only one that can save and satisfy, listen, that sin-sickened soul. That person who has no hope. So what's in a name? Well, if that name is Alan Bartlam, not very much. But if the name is Jesus, that's everything. You need nothing else, no one else, because in him we have everything. His name is the source of our salvation. His name is the hope of our hearts. His name can bring and break sin's bondage and cool the fevered brow. His name can lift the greatest burdens. His name can comfort the brokenhearted. His name is a name worth knowing because he is the only one, the only Savior, the only one who we should love and follow and honor and let him to come into our lives. His name unlocks the door to heaven and closes the gates of hell. His name saves the vilest sinner. It redeems the blackest soul. It secures the precious saints and brings restoration and victory to the defeated and struggling Christian. That's what his name does. No one else can say that. There are 4,200 religions in the world. Listen to this, people. 4,200 religions in the world, but there's only one empty tomb. 4,200 religions, only one empty tomb. There is only one man who conquered sin, who conquered death and hell forever. There is only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. The question I finish with and ask you right now, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you want to know him better? Do you need to thank him? Do you need to hand a difficult situation over to Him? Do you need to start afresh in your life? Think about it. If right now God were to snap the frail cords of your life just like that, and He can do it in a moment of time, do you think your attending church is going to cut ice with God? Of course not. It's no longer a sin question, it's a son question. What are you going to do with Jesus? Today is that day when you need to put your faith and your trust in Him if you haven't done so. And if it's a day that you need to come back to Him and ask Him to take control of your life, today is that day. This is that moment. And I'm going to ask you right now to be open-hearted to Him and just bow with me in a moment of silent prayer. Let's all bow together. And as we're bowed in His presence this morning, forget about your associations and your standing, but right now, Jesus stands at your heart door, and He wants to come into your life if you've never trusted Him. But if you have trusted Him, but you've been walking away from Him, and you haven't been surrendered to Him for a long time, then today, this is that moment, when in these next few moments of silence, I invite you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be your Savior, and to be your Lord. And as well, if you're a believer, but you know you're not walking with Him as you ought, then this is your moment to rededicate your life to Him and say, Lord Jesus, would You cleanse me, forgive me as I reconsecrate my life to You this day. Let's just for those moments of silence, you lift your heart to Him. And if you're not a Christian, just say, Lord Jesus, today I repent of my sin. I ask You to come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. And I thank You for dying for me. Lord Jesus, as we're bowed in Your presence here in these moments, You've heard the prayers of people as they've bowed before You. And I pray that today, if there has been transactions made with You, that, Lord, there will be a sense of Your presence in their lives, each one, for whatever reason it might be that they've made a decision today. And I pray that as we leave this place today, and as we've ventured into 2024, help us to remember that we enter into this year with the sure and certain knowledge that where there is only one Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. So what's in a name? The name is salvation. The name is forgiveness. The name is peace. The name brings heaven to our hearts and our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If, folks, you've made a decision for Jesus in some way or another today, I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to sit down and have a chat with you. I know the elders would as well. Or if you, as a believer, have made some kind of decision, then I'll be down the front for a little while this morning. If you want to come and talk with me, please do that. There's no pressure, but please do that if today is the day that God has spoken to your heart. Thank you.